Hello, and welcome to the Pediatric Critical Care Medicine Audio Abstracts. I'm Dr. Erin Bennett, and on behalf of PCCM, I'm happy to present this audio recording of the research abstracts that appear in this month's issue. Let's get started. Abstract 1 is a late-breaker article by Shostak et al. Durable central venous access for pediatric cardiac patients. Secondary analysis of a single-center retrospective cohort study from 2015 to 2021. Objectives. There are several options for durable venous access for pediatric cardiac patients, and the insertion techniques, locations, and complications potentially differ. The study aimed to evaluate our experience of upper extremity peripherally inserted central catheters, or PICCs, and durable tunneled femoral central venous catheters, or tunneled femoral CVCs, in young pediatric cardiac ICU patients. Design: retrospective cohort study from 2015 to 2021. Setting: pediatric cardiac ICU in a tertiary medical care center. Patients: all patients younger than 1.5 years old who underwent bedside insertion of tunneled femoral CVCs or upper extremity PICC between December 2015 and December 2021. There were no interventions. Measurements and main results. The cohort included 226 durable lines inserted in patients 2 to 550 days old with 111 upper extremity PICCs and 115 tunneled femoral CVCs. In the two groups, receipt of PICC versus tunneled femoral CVC placement was associated with older age, 125.6 versus 53.4 days and a p-value equal to 0.005, and shorter duration of mechanical ventilation, 9 versus 25.5 days and a p-value less than 0.001. PICC versus tunneled femoral CVC use was associated with a higher rate of central line associated bloodstream infection or CLABSI, 7.14 versus 2.38 per 1,000 line days and a p-value equal to 0.004, and more thrombosis events, 5 versus 0 and a p-value equal to 0.008. When adjusted for CLABSI-free line days, tunneled femoral CVCs relative to upper limb PICCs was associated with close to one-third of the odds of CLABSI, with an odds ratio of 0.31 and a 95% confidence interval of 0.13 to 0.78. Similarly, when adjusted for line days close to one-third of the odds of any complication, that is, CLABSI, dislodgement, occlusion, or thrombosis, odds ratio was 0.31 with a 95% confidence interval of 0.14 to 0.65. Conclusions. In our 2015 to 2021 pediatric cardiac ICU experience of using durable tunneled femoral CVC inserted at the bedside versus upper extremity PICCs in neonates and infants, we found an associated one-third the odds of CLABSI and overall complications. A prospective study of subcutaneous tunneling in various locations of catheters on CLABSI and overall complication rates is needed. Abstract 2 is a late-breaker article by Mayim Parath et al. Machine Learning-Based Pediatric Early Warning Score, Patient Outcomes in a Pre- versus Post-Implementation Study from 2019 to 2023. Objectives: to describe the deployment of Pediatric Calculated Assessment of Risk and Triage, or PCART, a machine learning model to predict the risk of the direct ward to the ICU transfer within 12 hours and the associated improved outcomes among hospitalized children. Design: pre- versus post-implementation study. Setting: an urban tertiary care academic hospital. Patients: pediatric admissions less than 18 years old from May 1, 2019 to April 30, 2023. There were no interventions. Measurements and main results. Patients were divided into baseline, pre-PCART implementation from May 1, 2019 to April 30, 2021, and post-PCART implementation from May 1, 2021 to April 30, 2023 cohorts. First ward admissions with a high-risk score, or PCART score greater than or equal to 92, were considered as the main cohort. The primary outcome was the occurrence of critical events defined as invasive mechanical ventilation, vasoactive drug administration, or death within 12 hours of the first high-risk PCART score. There were 2,763 and 3,943 patients in the baseline and implementation cohorts, respectively. P PCART implementation was associated with a decrease in the percentage of the primary outcome from baseline 1.4% to 0.4% with a p-value less than 0.001, which converted to more than two-thirds lower adjusted odds ratio of the primary outcome, with an odds ratio of 0.22, a 95% confidence interval of 0.11 to 0.4, and a p-value less than 0.001. PCART's implementation was also associated with a decreased prevalence of critical events at 24 and 48 hours after a first high-risk score. We failed to identify any association between cohort period and overall hospital and ICU length of stay, number of ICU transfers, and time to ICU transfer. However, there was a difference in hospital length of stay among a subpopulation of patients transferred to the ICU, with a median of 6 versus 7 days and a p-value less than 0.001. Analysis of compliance metrics indicates sustained compliance achievements over time. Conclusions. The deployment of PCART, a machine learning-based pediatric risk stratification tool for clinical decision support for pediatric ward patients, was associated with lower odds of critical events among high-risk patients. Abstract 3 is a late-breaker article by Sanchez Pinto et al. Phoenix Sepsis Criteria in Critically Ill Children, Retrospective Validation Using a United States 9-Center Dataset from 2012 to 2018. Objectives. To perform, 1. External validation of the Phoenix Sepsis Score and Phoenix Sepsis Criteria in a multicenter cohort of critically ill children with infection and a comparison with the 2005 International Pediatric Sepsis Consensus Conference Criteria. 2. A study of Phoenix Sepsis Criteria performance in patient subgroups based on age and comorbidities. 3. An assessment of microbiological profile of children with Phoenix sepsis. And 4. A study of the performance of the Phoenix 8 score. Design. Secondary retrospective analysis of a multicenter cohort study from 2012 to 2018. Setting. 9 PICUs in the United States. Patients. PICU admissions with suspected infection. There were no interventions. Measurements and main results. Among 25,680 encounters of children with suspected or confirmed infection on PICU admission with 4.6% in-hospital mortality, 11,168, or 43%, met Phoenix criteria for sepsis or septic shock, with 9% in-hospital mortality. The Phoenix criteria generally outperformed the International Pediatric Sepsis Consensus Conference, or IPSCC, criteria at discriminating mortality in all critically ill children with infections and across all subgroup analyses, including age group, malignancy, or technology dependence. Of 11,168 patients who met Phoenix criteria, 28% were negative for IPSCC criteria for sepsis, and these had higher in-hospital mortality than those who met IPSCC sepsis criteria, but not Phoenix criteria, 4.7% versus 1.7%, with a p-value less than 0.001, which was similar to the mortality of patients without sepsis, 1.3%. Sepsis was associated with respiratory or bloodstream infection, most commonly Pseudomonas aeruginosa or Staphylococcus aureus. The Phoenix 8 score had good discrimination of mortality in children with infections, comparable to or better than validated and widely used severity of illness and organ dysfunction scores. Conclusions. In 2012 to 2018, among U.S. patients with suspected or confirmed infection admitted to 9 PICUs, those with the highest risk of mortality can be identified using the Phoenix sepsis criteria, including children of different age groups and those with major comorbidities. Abstract 4 is a featured original research article by Kashida et al. Tracheal intubation by attending physicians in a U.S. registry from 2016 to 2020, analysis by PICU participation in a skills maintenance program and fellowship training. Objectives. Tracheal intubation is a critical skill for PICU attending physicians to maintain. We hypothesize that attendings perform fewer tracheal intubations and have lower success rate in PICU programs with a pediatric critical care medicine fellowship. Design. Retrospective study using the National Emergency Airway Registry for Children, or NEAR for Kids, from July 2016 to June 2020. Exposures were presence of pediatric critical care medicine fellowship and attending tracheal intubation skill maintenance program. The primary outcome was attending's first attempt success, and the secondary outcome was adverse airway outcome in the first attempt. Setting: 33 PICUs in North America. Patients: children receiving tracheal intubation. There were no interventions. Measurements and main results. Overall, 23 of 33 PICUs had a pediatric critical care medicine fellowship, with 3 of 23 having an attending tracheal intubation skill maintenance program. Attendings performed tracheal intubation in 24.1%, or 2,728 of 11,323. 13.9%, or 13.8 tracheal intubations per year in PICUs with a fellowship, versus 66%, or 36.6 tracheal intubations per year in PICUs without a fellowship, with a p-value less than 0.001. Attending's first attempt success in PICUs with versus without fellowships was 70.5% versus 81.3%, with a difference of 10.8%, a 95% confidence interval of 7.6 to 14%, and a p-value less than 0.0001. After controlling for confounders, attendings in a PICU with a fellowship had lower odds for first attempt success, with an adjusted odds ratio of 0.65 and a 95% confidence interval of 0.47 to 0.9. We failed to find an association between attending first attempt success and PICU program type, with versus without a tracheal intubation skills maintenance program, 74% versus 69.5%, and a p-value equal to 0.146. The adverse airway outcome rate of the tracheal intubation with attending's first attempt was lower in PICU programs with versus without a tracheal intubation skill maintenance program, 32.8% versus 40.3%, and a p-value equal to 0.02. However, after adjusting for confounders, we failed to exclude the possibility of near halving of odds of adverse outcomes, with an adjusted odds ratio of 0.75, a 95% confidence interval of 0.55 to 1.01, and a p-value equal to 0.058. Conclusions: attendings in PICU programs with a fellowship have fewer opportunities to perform tracheal intubation and lower first attempt success rates. Opportunities exist for attending tracheal intubation skill maintenance, especially in PICUs with a pediatric critical care medicine fellowship. Abstract 5 is a clinical investigation article by Woesten van Asperen et al. The Phoenix Sepsis Score in Pediatric Oncology Patients with Sepsis at PICU Admission, Tested Performance in a European Multicenter Cohort, 2018 to 2020. Objectives: the Pediatric Sepsis Definition Task Force developed and validated a new organ dysfunction score, the Phoenix Sepsis Score, as a predictor of mortality in children with suspected or confirmed infection. The Phoenix Sepsis Score showed improved performance compared with prior scores. However, the criteria were derived in a general pediatric population in which only 10% had cancer. Given that pediatric cancer patients with sepsis have higher mortality compared with non-cancer patients with sepsis, we aim to assess the Phoenix Sepsis Score in PICU patients with cancer and sepsis. Design: retrospective multicenter cohort study. Setting: 12 PICUs across Europe. Patients: each PICU identified patients 18 years young or younger with underlying malignancy and suspected or proven sepsis and admission between January 1, 2018 and January 1, 2020. There were no interventions. Measurements and main results: the Phoenix Sepsis Score and three other scores, including Phoenix 8, Pediatric Logistic Organ Dysfunction 2 or PLOD 2 score, and Pediatric Sequential Organ Failure Assessment or PSOFA score, were calculated for comparison. The primary outcome was 90-day all-cause mortality. We compared score performance using Area Under the Receiver Operating Characteristic Curve, or AUROC, and Area Under the Precision Recall Curve, or AUPRC, analyses. Among 383 patients with proven or suspected sepsis, 90-day mortality was 19.3%, or 74 of 383. We failed to identify an association between a particular score and performance for 90-day mortality. The mean values for the area under the receiver operating characteristic curve of each score was as follows: Phoenix sepsis score 0.66 with a 95% confidence interval of 0.59 to 0.72, Phoenix 8 0.65 with a 95% confidence interval of 0.58 to 0.72, PLOD 2 0.64 with a 95% confidence interval of 0.57 to 0.71, and PSOFA 0.67 with a 95% confidence interval of 0.6 to 0.74. The area under the precision recall curve was as follows: Phoenix sepsis score 0.32 with a 95% confidence interval of 0.23 to 0.42, Phoenix 8 0.32 with a 95% confidence interval of 0.23 to 0.42, PLOD 2, 0.32, with a 95% confidence interval of 0.22 to 0.43, and PSOFA 0.36 with a 95% confidence interval of 0.26 to 0.46. Similar results were obtained for PICU mortality or sepsis-related PICU mortality. Conclusions. Contrary to the general PICU population, our retrospective test of the Phoenix sepsis score in a PICU oncology dataset with suspected or proven sepsis from European PICUs from 2018 to 2020 failed to identify improved performance in association with mortality. This unique patient population deserves development of organ dysfunction scores that reflect organ dysfunction and mortality data specifically from these patients and will require prospective validation in future studies. Abstract 6 is a clinical investigation article by Carter et al. Evaluation of Phoenix sepsis score criteria, exploratory analysis of characteristics and outcomes in an emergency transport PICU cohort from the United Kingdom from 2014 to 2016. Objectives: to assess characteristics and outcomes of children with suspected or confirmed infection requiring emergency transport and PICU admission, and to explore the association between the 2024 Phoenix sepsis score criteria and mortality. Design: retrospective analysis of curated data from a 2014 to 2016 multicenter cohort study. Setting: PICU admission following emergency transport in Southeast England, United Kingdom from April 2014 to December 2016. Patients: 663 children 0 to 16 years old, of whom 444 or 67% had suspected or confirmed infection. There were no interventions. Measurements and main results. The Phoenix sepsis score was calculated as a sum of four individual organ subscores: respiratory, cardiovascular, neurological, and coagulation, using the worst values during transport, IDEST, from referral until the time of PICU admission. A score cutoff of greater than or equal to 2 points was used to define sepsis, and septic shock was defined as sepsis plus one or more cardiovascular subscore points. Sepsis occurred in 260 of 444 children, or 58.6%, with suspected or confirmed infection, with septic shock occurring in 177 of 260, or 68.1%, of those with sepsis. A Phoenix sepsis score greater than or equal to 2 points occurred in 37 of 67 bronchiolitis cases, 19 of 35 meningoencephalitis cases, 30 of 47 pneumonia and/or empyema cases, 38 of 46 septic or toxic shock cases, 9 of 15 severe sepsis cases, and 58 of 118 definite viral infections. Overall, 14 of 444 children died, or 3.2%. There were 12 deaths in the 260 children with Phoenix sepsis score greater than or equal to 2, and 2 deaths in the 184 children with Phoenix sepsis score less than 2, or 4.6% versus 1.1%, with an absolute difference of 3.5%, a 95% confidence interval of 0.1 to 6.9%, and a p-value equal to 0.04. Conclusions. In 2014 to 2016, over half of the critically ill children undergoing emergency transport to PICU with presumed or confirmed infection and meeting retrospectively applied Phoenix sepsis score criteria for sepsis had a range of clinical diagnoses including bronchiolitis, meningoencephalitis, and pneumonia and/or empyema. Furthermore, the Phoenix sepsis score criteria for categorization of sepsis and septic shock were associated with outcome and may be of value in future risk stratification in clinical trials. Abstract 7 is a clinical investigation by Choi et al. Antithrombin and activated protein C in pediatric sepsis, prospective observational study of outcome. Objectives: to assess antithrombin and activated protein C, or APC, levels in relation to disseminated intravascular coagulation, or DIC, and severe outcomes in pediatric sepsis. Design: prospective observational study conducted between April 2023 and October 2024. Coagulation profiles, including conventional coagulation, antithrombin activity, and APC, were obtained at PICU admission. Setting: PICU in the Vietnam National Children's Hospital in Hanoi, Vietnam. Subjects: PICU admissions 1 month to 18 years old with sepsis. There were no interventions. Measurements and main results. 130 children, 78 males, with a median age of 7.5 months, with mortality of 17.7%, or occurring in 23 of 130. The prevalence of overt DIC was 37 of 130, or 28.5%. Non-survival at 28 days compared with survival was associated with hemorrhage and/or thrombosis at presentation and higher number of dysfunctional organs and overt DIC. Those with overt DIC compared with not had longer activated partial thromboplastin time, higher international normalized ratio and D-dimer, and lower antithrombin and APC. Activity of antithrombin and APC correlated inversely with the vasoactive inotropic score in survivors, with p-values equal to 0.002 and 0.009 respectively. Patients with a cutoff value for antithrombin less than 63.5% had a mortality risk with area under the receiver operating characteristic curve of 0.64, with sensitivity 0.51 and specificity 0.74, and positive predictive value 0.3. Regarding overt DIC, a cutoff value for antithrombin less than 55.5% had an area under the receiver operating characteristic curve of 0.78, sensitivity 0.72, and specificity of 0.73, with positive predictive value of 0.52. Conclusions. In this observational study of pediatric sepsis patients, first 24-hour coagulation data in those who did not survive to 28 days versus survivors showed an associated prior lower level of antithrombin in non-survivors. Furthermore, using the outcome of overt DIC and non-overt DIC in the first 72 hours, we found that lower levels of antithrombin or APC are each associated with overt DIC and non-overt DIC in pediatric sepsis. Further validation work is needed in larger case series of pediatric sepsis. Abstract 8 is a clinical investigation article by McCormick et al. Pediatric Resuscitation Skill of Bag Tube Manual Ventilation, Developing and Using a Mobile Simulation Program to Assess Competency of a Multiprofessional PICU Team. Objectives: to assess the skill of bag tube manual ventilation with the flow inflating bag and multiprofessional PICU team members using a mobile simulation unit. Design: prospective observational study from January 2022 to April 2022. Setting: in situ mobile simulation using the flow inflating bag in an academic PICU. Subjects: multiprofessional PICU team members, including nurses, respiratory therapists, nurse practitioners, fellows, and attendings. There were no interventions. Measurements and main results. We enrolled 129 participants who twice completed 1-minute tasks performing bag tube manual ventilation with a flow inflating bag. Sessions were video recorded, 4 could not be analyzed. Only 30% of participants reported being very to extremely confident, and the majority, or 62%, reported infrequent skill performance. Task success was defined as achieving target pressure ranges during 80% of the delivered breaths, respiratory rate of 25 to 35 breaths per minute, and successful pop-off valve engagement. Only 5 of 129 participants, or 4%, achieved successful ventilation as defined. Overall, participants were more likely to deliver lower pressures and faster rate. Maintaining target positive end expiratory pressure, or PEEP, was least likely to be achieved, 19% success, followed by respiratory rate, 52%, pop-off valve, 64%, then peak inspiratory pressure, 71%. Nurses were less likely to achieve target pressures compared with all other professions. Conclusions: multiprofessional PICU team members have highly variable self-confidence with bag tube manual ventilation using a flow inflating bag. Observed performance demonstrates rare success with achieving targeted ventilation parameters, in particular maintenance of PEEP. Future research should focus on developing mobile simulation units to facilitate profession-specific real-time coaching to teach high-quality manual ventilation that can be translated to the bedside. Abstract 9 is a clinical investigation by Kattir et al. Citrate anticoagulation in continuous renal replacement therapy, multicenter PICU study of filter-related outcomes. Objectives: to examine citrate anticoagulation in continuous renal replacement therapy, or CRRT, in the PICU. Design: post-hoc analysis of a curated multicenter dataset collected from January 1, 2022 to June 1, 2023. Setting: 7 PICUs in Turkey. Patients: PICU admissions in need of CRRT, 28 days to 18 years old. There were no interventions. Measurements and main results. In 128 filters used in 73 patients, the effective filter life, or EFL, restricted to 72 hours was a median of 40.5 hours with an interquartile range of 21 to 58 hours. Total EFL was a median of 59 hours with an interquartile range of 28 to 89 hours. Analysis of the receiver operating characteristic curve for initial citrate infusion dose and whether EFL reached 72 hours identified a cutoff level for initial citrate infusion dose of greater than 2.64 millimoles citrate per liter of patient blood flow. As expected, the two filter groups categorized by initial citrate infusion dose greater than or equal to 2.7 versus less than 2.7 millimoles per liter of blood flow showed filters in children receiving higher initial dosing had longer total effective filter life, 72 hours with an interquartile range of 48 to 104 hours versus 38.5 hours with an interquartile range of 18 to 84 hours and a p-value equal to 0.03. We failed to identify an association between CRRT for over 24 or 48 hours and greater odds of citrate accumulation. The odds ratio for over 24 hours was 2.23 with a 95% confidence interval of 0.82 to 6.13 and a p-value equal to 0.118, and the odds ratio for over 48 hours was 1.78 with a 95% confidence interval of 0.84 to 3.8 and a p-value equal to 0.134. However, we cannot exclude up to 6.1 or 3.8-fold odds of citrate accumulation. Of note, CRRT over 72 hours was associated with greater odds of citrate accumulation, with an odds ratio of 2.17, a 95% confidence interval of 1.01 to 4.68, and a p-value equal to 0.04. Citrate lock syndrome occurred in 8 of 128, or 6.3%, with a 95% confidence interval of 3 to 11.4%, and resolved without termination of CRRT. On multivariable analysis, a higher patient initial lactate concentration was associated with an 18% greater hazard of developing citrate accumulation, with a 95% confidence interval of 7 to 30%. Conclusions. Citrate anticoagulation for CRRT is an option for children. Choosing an initial citrate infusion dose greater than or equal to 2.7 millimoles per liter of blood flow provides longer effective filter life, but with the associated potential of citrate accumulation. Further studies are needed on initial citrate infusion dose and duration of effective filter life. Abstract 10 is a PCCM trial by Van Buren et al. The pediatric influence of cooling duration on efficacy in cardiac arrest patients, or PICECAP, statistical methods planned in the Bayesian adaptive duration finding trial. Objectives: to determine the optimal cooling duration for children after out-of-hospital cardiac arrest using an adaptive Bayesian trial design. Design: the pediatric influence of cooling duration on efficacy in cardiac arrest patients, or PICECAP trial, is a randomized response adaptive duration dose-finding clinical trial with blinded outcome assessment. Participants are randomized to one of several cooling durations, 0, 12, 18, 24, 36, 48, 60, 72, 84, or 96 hours. The first 150 participants are randomized 1:1:1 to 24, 48, and 72-hour durations. Response adaptive randomization is used thereafter to allocate participants based on emerging duration response data. Setting: pediatric intensive care units. Patients: up to 900 pediatric patients 2 days to younger than 18 years old who have survived out-of-hospital cardiac arrest and been admitted to an ICU. Interventions: duration of targeted temperature management using a surface temperature control device. Measurements and main results. The primary outcome is the Vineland Adaptive Behavior Scale's third edition mortality composite score, assessed at 12 months. Secondary outcomes include changes in the pediatric cerebral performance category and pediatric resuscitation after cardiac arrest scores, as well as survival at 12 months. Bayesian modeling is employed to evaluate the duration response curve and determine the optimal cooling duration. The trial is designed to adaptively update randomization probabilities every 10 weeks, maximizing the allocation of participants to potentially optimal cooling durations. Over 90% power is achieved for the hypothesized scenarios. Conclusions: the PICECAP trial aims to identify the shortest cooling duration that provides the maximum treatment effect for pediatric out-of-hospital cardiac arrest patients. the adaptive design allows for flexibility and efficiency in handling various clinical scenarios, potentially transforming pediatric cardiac arrest care by optimizing hypothermia treatment protocols. Abstract 11 is a research letter by Orman et al. Parent-reported secondary stressor inventory scores and bedside presence during PICU admission. To the editor, hospitalization in the PICU is stressful for parents. Negative financial, emotional, physical, and mental health effects from PICU hospitalization have been shown to persist in families after discharge. Parental presence at the bedside may confer benefits in reducing pain and delirium for pediatric patients, but is resource-intensive and lower presence has been associated with pre-existing socioeconomic inequities. There is limited research investigating the association between secondary stressors and amount of time parents spend at the bedside with their child in the PICU. We hypothesize that higher stress during a child's hospitalization was associated with lower parental presence at the bedside, and the stress experienced may vary with pre-existing socioeconomic resources. We carried out a questionnaire study of parents of patients admitted to a 10-bed academic PICU from February 2022 to June 2022. We approached families of children who had been admitted for 24 hours or more and gained consent for completion of an electronic survey within 48 hours of discharge. The development of survey questions was guided by interviews with parents, social workers, nurses, and pediatric intensivists from 2019 to 2020, and the results were combined with a previously validated tool. The questionnaire probed known external stress domains that families may experience, including employment obligations, transportation, food access, childcare, and medical needs of other family members. Parents reported presence at the bedside, demographic data, and rated stress levels on a scale from 0, not experienced, to 5, extremely stressful for each of the 10 items, which were summed to generate a composite stress score, with range in scores from 0 to 50. Descriptive statistics, Mann-Whitney-U test, and Kruskal-Wallis test analyses were generated using Stata. 42 of 49 parents completed the survey. 26 parents reported never leaving the bedside, and 12 reported bedside presences of 16 hours or more per day. Median composite stress score for the total patient population was 17, with an interquartile range of 14 to 23. The median composite stress score for those who left the bedside was 19, with an interquartile range of 17 to 28, and the median composite stress score for those who did not leave the bedside was 15, with an interquartile range of 13 to 21, and a p-value of 0.04. The composite stress score was higher in Black and Hispanic parents compared with white, non-Hispanic parents. The median composite stress score for Black parents was 26 with an interquartile range of 18 to 35. The median composite stress score for Hispanic parents was 22 with an interquartile range of 14 to 30. And the median composite stress score for white parents was 15 with an interquartile range of 14 to 17. The p-value was 0.02. Subscore analysis of internal PICU stressor ratings by race and or ethnicity remained significant, with a p-value less than 0.01, but we failed to identify such an association in external stressor ratings. We failed to identify an association between family income, insurance, education, and the child's diagnosis and composite stress score. Presence at the bedside was high in our population, which may reflect the short lengths of stay, allowing more families to maintain presence. Parents who left the bedside had a higher median composite stress score and more positively skewed distribution of total stress scores. The discrepancy in internal compared with external PICU stress subscores warrants further study with larger numbers. For example, the observation could indicate that race and/or ethnicity is a factor associated with experience of hospitalization, but not the burden of external stressors on a family. Of note, the study was limited by exclusion of parents without English proficiency. Future use of the PICU-specific parent-reported survey tool we developed and used may be an effective means to identify how to strengthen partnerships with families as we seek to optimize family-centered care in the PICU. This concludes the abstracts for the February 2025 issue of Pediatric Critical Care Medicine. Thank you very much for listening. For more journal-related content, including access to the articles mentioned in this recording, please visit pccmjournal.org. Members of the SCCM Pediatric Section receive complimentary access to the PCCM Journal.